You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, September 27th, 2024. 39 days till Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or on your favorite social media channel. Thanks for starting your day right here and your weekend as well. I got a question for you. It is Packer season, but it's still really pleasant out there. A little too warm for my green and gold flannel shirt, so I hope y'all don't mind. Do you mind if I have the Brewers Hawaiian shirt on instead, getting ready for the postseason? Because that, too, is coming up in just a matter of days, so we'll talk Brewers. We'll talk Badgers, we'll talk Packers, all coming up in just a little bit, along with some of the headlines of the day, which include a visit from Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil. We'll talk about Congress passing another short-term stopgap spending bill because Republicans in the House won't reach agreement on a bipartisan budget for an entire year. So they're kicking the can again, this time until December. Even so, Ron Johnson, Derek Van Orden, and Tom Tiffany apparently all would rather have a government shutdown right before Election Day. Doesn't seem like a great idea. Tiffany is also spreading misinformation about a duplicate ballot situation in Wisconsin that we'll tell you about. In our second hour, we'll talk to Mark Jacob, veteran Chicago journalist, about how Elon Musk has turned Twitter into, well, a dumpster fire is the terminology that we use all the time. The thing is, a dumpster fire spews a lot of smoke, and basically it's information pollution. That's Mark's term for it, and we'll talk about that as well. Brittany Merlot's forecast, Dan Schumacher coming up to talk sports, and along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or text it, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app, where next hour, one more time on Up North News Radio, we'll give you a keyword that you can text to us for a chance to win a daily prize and maybe some tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay come December. And if you're watching us on the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page, you can always put a question in the comment section or comment too. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. It's 6:09 on the button right now. Let's head down to Waukesha, where Greg Bach is standing by. Actually, not once has he been standing by. He has always been properly seated with good posture, his hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, driving this control board through your radios right now. And he puts it in park. He's a very good parallel parker, steps out and says to the radio audience,
"Look at this fine American-made automobile of radio. I'm driving it all the way created to your home, to your car, to your ear holes, so you can enjoy the dulcet tones of one Pat Breitlow."
We really are like the, we're the gremlin of, or the pacer of radio cars.
Oh, here, I was going to say the Edsel, but okay.
Oh, Edsel, a Studebaker. Actually, yeah, a bear in his natural habitat, a Studebaker. Miss Jim Henson. What is happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend, Mr. Bach?
Pat, it's not just what's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend. We've got so much going on comedy-wise. I'm glad you asked me. First of all, this weekend, three shows. Tonight, two tomorrow. So 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow. David Drake is coming to town. He is a... from Chicago originally, is now living, I believe, in New York. He is a monster comic. He has released 5 records, I think, in 6 or 7 years. He is fantastic. He is very, very funny. The lineup is great. Those tickets are able to be purchased at laughingtap.com. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Come on down. Have a great time. Tickets are going. We want to see you down there because the fall is coming and people are kind of getting done with being outside. You know, the flannels are coming on. The pants are starting to replace shorts. And
people are putting on pants.
They're putting on their full version of shorts, which are called pants. And yeah, we're going to have great. But then starting Tuesday of next week, we have the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, the 19th annual Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which is 6 days, first through the sixth, shows every day, and performers from all over the country coming to Milwaukee to perform for you. And we have great headliners, Adam Caton Holland, who's been on HBO, and Maddie Ryan, who's been on Comedy Central. Those tickets are available at mkecomedyfest.com. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a lot of work, but, you know, it's fall, so that means it's Comedy Fest time.
That's right. Well, good. Good luck with that. I have a serious question about comedy.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that your headliner coming up here has put out like maybe 5 records.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love hearing that, records that somebody
said. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, but seriously, you know, when you think of like music downloads and album downloads, mm-hmm. Is that what comedians do now? Is they're on like iTunes and Amazon and all the platforms like everybody else, and people, do you download like entire albums or individual cuts, you know, like you do with individual songs from an album? I mean, is there like one process, or is it like the Wild West out there?
It's kind of the wild. It's like with musical artist. It's, you know, many artists have their material available in multiple mediums. So, you know, the top ones are, you know, go find it online. And a lot of them get records now. They don't really do CDs because, you know, people don't have CD players in their cars. Some are going back to cassette tapes for fun because people are getting back. People are getting back into cassette tapes. But mainly it's, you're going to go streaming, or you're going to, you know, buy the album online, stream it online, or buy the actual physical vinyl record. And You can download a joke if you want. You can download a track, which would have one bit on there, and that's fine. But I think that the comedy record is an experience to take from start to finish, and you want to listen to the whole thing. So
it has, I mean, and you know, we're at the very end of the show. We're the caboose of the train of people that actually bought comedy albums, and played them, and listened to, and laughed along with them. And I, I'm happy with all the advances in technology. I think it's great, but there's a little bit of that innocence that's lost, you know, as we move on. And comedy records were one of those things that did it. My next question for you is: are we losing you at some point really soon here? Have you put in your application yet for the new gig? Because I mean, when I think of who's going to replace Hoda Kotb at today, I mean, you came to mind immediately, you know, that you'd be the one there with what's her face, Jenna Bushhager, you know, drinking wine on that that fourth hour of the Today Show. No,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a glass of cold white wine at somewhere around 11, 12 o'clock in the day. But I have not heard back. I actually cornered Al Roker in the middle of Times Square, and I said, "Look, man, I know who is the best deal for this show is, and
this is meant to be,
And I have to say, as police were dragging me away, as they were carting me off into the police van, we made eye contact. He and I did, and I said, "I want to be your fourth hour in the neck of the woods." And then, you know, but I haven't heard back yet, you know.
Okay. Well, here's hoping.
Thank you.
Closed circuit message to, I think this is Americans for Prosperity. It just says AFP Action. You can stop sending Eric Hovde mailers to me. First off, they all look the same. I'm holding them up to the camera.
He looks like an image you pull off the internet.
Yes, and not necessarily in a great way with that, you know, porn stash that he's got going there that he insists on. But I mean, it really is just pictures of Eric Hovde. Like this one here says, "Our voice for Wisconsin."
I've heard him speak. Not a great voice.
Yeah, and it's more of a California voice.
Are you getting them
voice
by the day? Because
it seems like it.
I, you know, most of our mail is junk nowadays. We rarely get anything of like real substance. So we'll go like a day or two without even checking the mail because everything is important comes through email. Mm-hmm. And I'll have like four of them in my mail.
Yeah. And that to me, here's what it tells me. If the party that stands for the folks with a whole lot of money has a whole lot of money and uses it to send basically redundant mailers over and over again, it tells me you're not good stewards with our money. That, you know, you're like, well, I've got so much money, I've got it to burn here on 22 different political mailers. Like, I don't know if I want you handling our tax dollars. You know, I don't think that's going to work out so good.
I just also think mailers kind of annoy people. Like, I'll be perfectly honest. I throw them all away. I don't care who the candidate is.
Yep. Because here's what I know. Here's what I learned from being a candidate once upon a time. In the time that it takes you to walk from the mailbox to the garbage can and you have looked at it, you have now made an impression that you otherwise wouldn't have made. At least they're seeing something about your message. Now, if you're predisposed to not be for that candidate, it doesn't matter what it says on Eric Hovde's card. It ain't going to work for me. But if it's, say, a legislative race or something where you don't know the candidates and things very well, that's something that might stick out. That's where mail still has some degree of value. But I don't know why Hovde or his allies would do this much mail. Especially, I mean, look, there are voter files out there where households are rated on like a 1 to 5 scale from strong Democrat, lean Democrat, 3 is unknown or won't say, 4 is lean Republican, 5 is strong Republican. And by and large, these voter lists that these parties have are pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you're still mailing things to me, knowing where I stand, again, I'm not sure you should be running this particular campaign.
Well, and I think, you know, especially with a Kamala Harris campaign and I want to say with the Barack Obama campaign, when you're sending that many mailers out, it's in lieu of a ground game. And the ground game is important. It's knocking on the doors and talking to people. And and even the people you know are strong Democrats or strong Republicans, you still want to talk to that base and just at least say, hey, we got your vote. If not, let's talk, you know. But mailers, some people got to be a waste of money.
And now I'm going to talk to Democrats out there. You got to stop texting so much.
Yeah.
My wife had the best idea. She's like, I'm starting with a certain dollar amount, and I'm just knocking $5 off every time a text comes in. One night we're at dinner, and she, you know, looks at her phone, and she's like, nope, $5 off. I'm like, please stop. Stop.
By the end of this campaign, they're going to owe her money.
They're totally going to owe her money, and I'm here for it. When we come back, we'll do a little sports. We got Packer-Vikings game coming up, Brewers heading toward the postseason, Badgers playing on your radio, and more. We'll have that, plus unpacking some of the headlines next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning when you're here. You're up north, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pack Wrightlow. It's really not the Beatles that are in today's history lesson 30 minutes from now so much as it's Ferris Bueller. And we'll have details coming up a little bit later on this hour. Aaron Civale pitched 6 scoreless innings for the Brewers in his last start before the postseason. Joey Ortiz hit a home run as the Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 on Thursday afternoon to wrap up their road trip out to Pittsburgh. Civale allowed just 3 hits, struck out 5. He is 6-1 in his last 9 starts with the Brewers with a 2.57 ERA. So now it's home for the last regular season series. It's against the New York Mets with games at 7:10 tonight, 6:15 tomorrow, 2:10 Sunday afternoon, then a day off on Monday, and then the Brewers will host the wild card round of the playoffs on Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday. It is a best of 3. All 2 or 3 games will be at American Family Field. The opponent is TBD, as we described at length yesterday because of Hurricane Helene, which slammed into the Florida Panhandle, Big Bend area overnight, and is now bringing heavy rains to Atlanta. It has created a real mess with the baseball schedule. So whether it's the Braves, the Mets, or the Diamondbacks, those three teams fighting for two playoff spots, one of them will come to Milwaukee on Tuesday. One of them will go to San Diego to play the Padres in the other game. The game with the Mets tonight, pregame, is at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Oshkosh. The Badgers, meanwhile, play at USC. Pregame from Los Angeles at 12:30 Saturday on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. The Packer game, I want to say, on Sunday against the Vikings will be on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. And that's a 10 a.m. broadcast start on Sunday morning. And as part of that game, it marks the return of Aaron Jones. And yes, he says he is already envisioning a Lambeau leap if he is able to score a touchdown against his former team, the Packers. Greg, I think Aaron Jones is a beloved figure in Green Bay, but my advice anyway is don't do a Lambeau leap. I mean, because not that anybody's going to be mean, but don't do it. Just leave it at that.
In my heart of hearts, it's like, oh, that's really sweet, but I'm also like, it's not your team anymore.
It's not your team, and you're going to have a very bittersweet feeling what do they used to call it at County Stadium? The two-fisted slobberer. You know, if one guy decides to pour a beer on you because, you know, you're that guy from the other team leaping up into the stands, just enjoy the moments you had with Green Bay.
Wave to the fans, put your hand on your heart, let them know they're still with you. That's great. Yeah. And the two-fisted slopper was one of the best inventions for the Milwaukee Brewers ever, and there should always be a two-fisted slopper t-shirt in the pro shop.
Amen. Yes. That's the take of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Just go ahead and frame that one and hang it on the wall. Love that. All right, Congress passed another stopgap spending bill. That's another way of saying that Congress couldn't get the job done, which is not a big surprise since Republicans took over the House of Representatives almost 2 years ago. It has been nothing but dysfunction, starting from their inability to pick a speaker and then firing a speaker and consistently deciding to go with conflict rather than compromise. And so it has left everybody kind of waiting. It's left improvements undone. There should have been a farm bill a long time ago that could have made more improvements to Wisconsin's rural economy. But with Derek Van Orden on the House Ag Committee, absolutely zilch has gotten done there. And yet Van Orden and Tom Tiffany and over in the Senate, Ron Johnson, all voted against the stopgap funding bill, meaning if they had their druthers, they'd rather see a government shutdown with less than 6 weeks to go until the election, which would only be political suicide. But for them, it allows them to stamp their feet and say that, you know, they're the big fiscal hawk. Van Orden said in a statement he opposed the measure, quote, to save American agriculture. Dude, you don't even know what that means. Yeah, I voted no to save American agriculture. I seriously want to ask him, what do you mean by that? There's nothing about that vote that saves American agriculture. There is so much work to be done to improve the farm bill. And instead, you have seen the Biden-Harris administration make investment after investment after investment. We talked to Julie Lassa earlier this week about it. The other day, I talked to White House senior advisor Neera Tanden when she came through Chippewa Falls. I'm waiting till Tuesday, I think, when Hans Breitenmoser joins us, and I'll play back her answers to the questions that I asked about Project 2025 and about what Trump tariffs would do to Wisconsin agriculture if Trump were to win and, start another trade war back in office. Congressman Mark Pocan posted on Twitter, he called Van Orden's response about saving American agriculture, he called it asinine. He writes, not only did Derek Van Orden's Republican majority not pass a farm bill before the September 30th deadline, he was willing to close down all of the federal government to make Donald Trump happy. Ron Johnson did not have a comment. Tiffany said to Wisp Politics, if we fail to secure our elections and fail to secure our borders, we are not a sovereign nation. Again, dude, with all respect, what are you talking about? We are a sovereign nation. We have borders. We have elections. You're trashing our elections. You, who actually voted against and favored a lawsuit that would take away the votes of Wisconsin voters in 2020. You should have resigned from office right then and there. But you're still saying, well, we need to secure our elections and secure our borders, when you have brought nothing home. You have nothing to show for what you've done in Congress for that $170-something thousand a year paycheck that you've received over the past nearly 2 years. And so we will limp along like this again until December, where there might be some kind of a lame duck session. And then again, early next year, with a new president and with a new Congress, we don't know how it's going to work out. Will all of them be of the same party? Will we have split control again? If we have split control again, maybe this time we could get some leadership rather than endless conflict and get things done in D.C. But that's all in your hands, dear voter. Kia Vakil is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, there it is. Tame Impala tells us we're getting close to the weekend. Ms. Kia Vakil is here, as always, on these Friday mornings. Hello, my favorite harbinger of the coming weekend. How are you?
I am well. I'm glad the weekend's almost here. And I'm glad there's only, what, six more until the election?
Yep. We're getting there. Now, here's the thing. We're not even going to start with, the presidential election and all of that. We're going to start with the thing that could have really upended it, but it didn't. And as I mentioned earlier, Congress did pass another temporary spending bill. No thanks to Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany. But that notwithstanding, Kia, the fact that we even got to this point again is, in my mind, such an indictment of Speaker Mike Johnson. Yeah, and he couldn't get anything done, much less Trump's demand that they go for a shutdown. If you assume for a moment, Kia, that Republicans hold the House, what are the odds that they stick with Mike Johnson as Speaker?
Ooh. Don't ask me to predict what House Republicans are going to do, like playing roulette. And I think they would probably keep him just because we saw what the last time they got rid of someone turned out to, and that's what led to Mike Johnson. So, you know, if you draw conclusions from that, and if you believe that things can always get dumber and worse in politics, like I do, I think they have to stick with him. I also don't expect that they're going to hold the House. They've had 2 years and have flailed at every opportunity, have done literally nothing of note. Every one of their even like sham impeachment investigations has failed and like flamed out in spectacular fashion. You know, Mike Johnson's, you know, five kids in a trench coat cosplaying as an adult. He's not a serious person, and no one in that caucus is a serious person. In the House Republican caucus, you know, there's a few folks who are lingering who, you know, have some bipartisan credentials, but, you know, the vast majority, so few, you can probably count them on one hand. And so, you know, if they do hold on to it somehow, it will be because of gerrymandering in states like North Carolina. But, you know, we'll be in for another do nothing Congress, which, you know, no one needs.
No. And frankly, that's the only thing, you know, that's worth mentioning here is that you've got these close districts like the third here. But between the third, Brian Stile in the first, you've got an open seat in the eighth that, again, Wisconsin voters aren't just able to make a difference in the presidential election, but in whether we have a Congress that actually does things again. So just remember that when you're going, well, is it really worth it to vote? Should I take time? I don't know. Yeah, it really is. But this budget deal is also,
And I don't know if it's being portrayed as such at the national level, but this really is a huge black eye to Donald Trump, who, like I said, demanded basically a shutdown. And, you know, Mike Johnson and the rest of the caucus was like, well.
Well, I think this is a situation where other Republicans are saving Donald Trump from himself. Yeah. I do not know why pretty much every other Republican knows that a shutdown right a month before a presidential election, as early voting is happening, clearly engineered by Trump and Republicans, would not look good for Republicans. You know, a lot of people like to pretend Donald Trump is this, you know, magic wizard of politics that make him good. He's not particularly smart. He is effective in some ways. Obviously, he's got a stranglehold on the Republican Party, but, you know, most of his ideas are atrocious. And there's a reason he lost in 2020. There's a reason most of his endorsed candidates in competitive races got clocked in 2022. There's a reason he's, you know, endorsed people who've now called themselves Nazis and praised slavery. He's not good at this. He just happens to be rich, famous, and able to speak to, you know, a very real sense of bitterness and resentment that exists in America, but has offered no actual solutions. And that's what he's trying to do by shutting down the government. It's just trying to stoke fury and anger at immigrants who, you know, if they're undocumented, cannot vote. So it's all just BS.
So who then is doing anything in terms of proposing something for the American people, for the middle class? It appears to be over on the other side of the ballot there, where Vice President Kamala Harris has said among the things that she would do would be to build on the prescription drug benefit that we find in the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, so that law, you know, reduced capped monthly insulin costs for seniors on Medicare to $35 a month. It also, I believe it's next year, implements a $2,000 annual cap on out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare. And she has said she wants to expand those to all Americans, so not just seniors on Medicare. It would cover you and I. So, you know, if you have a diabetic in your family and they're spending $500 a month on their insulin or rationing their insulin because they can't afford it, because these pharmaceutical companies price gouge the hell out of us here, Kamala Harris's plan would get rid of that and make sure you only pay up to $35 a month. She also wants to accelerate this other provision of that law that allows Medicare to negotiate drug costs for seniors drugs. Starts with 10 in 2026, 10 drugs, and then 15 and then 20 in the years following. She wants to speed that up and increase the number of drugs covered so that, you know, seniors are not, you know, scraping by, skipping meals to pay for medication they need. As we know, as you get older, you need more medication, you need more medical interventions. And there's a reason Medicare was founded, and it does a remarkable job of, you know, keeping seniors from going into homelessness or dying before they need to die, and, you know, dying younger. But drug costs are out of control, and so she wants to lower those. That's not the only thing she's obviously proposed. She wants to expand the child tax credit for working families. She wants to cap childcare costs 7% for working and middle-class families. She wants to make it easier to build homes and make it easier for first-generation homebuyers to buy home, or first-time homebuyers to buy homes. You know, there's a whole host of plans out there, and we have done a bunch of stories on them. We have more in the pipeline over at our Courier Newsroom sites. And, you know, on the other side, you have really only two policies that repeatedly come up. One of them is deporting undocumented immigrants. That is the beating heart of the Republican Party right now and the Trump agenda. And the other one is tariffs. We see him talk over and over again about tariffs, and, you know, which are basically taxes on imported products and goods. You know, in a vacuum, some tariffs can be good and helpful. But when you want to impose a 10 or 20% tariff on everything, including food that we import from other countries, and, you know, 100 or 200% tariff on everything from China, you're going to upend the economy in ways that we cannot even predict.
Trump, meanwhile, when you mentioned that early voting is already underway in places, did he really refer to early voting as stupid in the past few days?
I'm sure he did. I have actually not seen that. But if you ask me to bet all the money in the world that I have, which is not that much money, but, you know, it's not nothing, I would bet on it. Because, yeah, he routinely says things like that are driven by bitterness and anger. you know, he thinks early voting and mail voting cost him the election in 2020 and not the fact that, you know, he couldn't get out of his own way. So, yeah, I totally believe he said that.
Here's the thing. Only half right. He's also still telling his supporters to vote early, even as he criticizes it. So much like the debate question on abortion, if there ever is a second debate with Kamala Harris, I think one of the first questions should be, you know, you're flip-flopping all over this. What do you want? And I think really we're just grasping at anything for excuses. Now, speaking of a man grasping for excuses, let's talk about the mayor of New York City, which we have not talked about on this program anyway. So can you give just a brief overview of what sure. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted for this week?
Yeah. So Eric Adams, the New York City mayor, he is a Democrat. He is a very moderate centrist Democrat who used to be the, you know, president of the Brooklyn borough, won the mayoral race a couple years ago, and pretty much ever since has stepped on one rake after another, implementing unpopular policies, saying ridiculous things. You know, he is another, you know, five other kids dressed up in a trench coat of a politician. Wednesday, he was indicted. In the past couple of weeks, a lot of his associates and staffers have been indicted or resigned or had their homes searched. And so on Wednesday, he was finally indicted on five counts of one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and soliciting foreign contribution and accepting bribes, another count of wire fraud, two counts of solicitation of a contribution by a foreign national, one count of bribery. You know, the long story short of it is he basically took bribes in exchange for helping Turkey, the country. And, you know, there's the indictment is pretty scathing. You know, it says he conspired with the government to get illegal foreign contributions to his campaign in exchange for acting on its behalf. He, you know, refused to acknowledge the Armenian genocide from, you know, about 100 years ago because he got these donations. There's evidence that he may have, you know, basically illegally received $10 million in public funds because of the way they, you know, I don't have all the details on that, but it is a brutal, brutal document. I've only skimmed portions of it, but, you know, it really speaks to just a blatant, reckless sense of corruption that is unfortunate and should not exist in our politics. And, you know, it is an example of the justice system actually working, despite what Republicans say. You know, this Eric Adams is a Democrat. Robert Menendez, the senator.
I was going to say, I don't hear the chorus of Democrats circling the wagons and defending him and saying, oh, this is a, you know, political persecution. You know, what have we said all along? If somebody is guilty of a crime, they should not be serving in elected office.
No, if you are corrupt, you have no business serving in elected office, whether you're Eric Adams, whether you're Bob Menendez taking gold bars from people from Egypt, whether you're my counselors here in LA, three of whom were indicted over the past 5 or 6 years, whether you're Donald Trump or Jared Kushner. You
I was
going
to say, can we open up the circle a little bit just to include, I don't know, Clarence Thomas?
Taking trips from billionaires justices, and then ruling on the – yeah.
I think there's room to get back to that, those kinds of ethics. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but I still see that's possible. What I'd like to see then on the other side of the aisle is more people, more Republicans calling out Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana, right, for just a wildly racist post about Haitian immigrants.
Yeah, I mean, if Johnson is five kids in a trench coat, Higgins is five kids in a Klan robe. Like, it's just he is as racist as it gets. He repeatedly, consistently says things that are inappropriate. It is an indictment of, you know, just if our system is resulting in people like Clay Higgins getting elected and reelected despite the things he says, that's an indictment of our system.
I'd like to introduce you to Marjorie Taylor Greene then.
Exactly.
Let's look ahead to next week. Just a quick preview. There will be a vice presidential debate next Tuesday between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. I'm sure both men have been busy preparing for that. I would expect that there's going to be, as often happens in vice presidential debates, I think the elbows are going to be a lot sharper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would expect it to be quite contentious. You know, both the candidates are from the Midwest. I feel like, I mean, J.D. Vance wouldn't know Midwestern nice if it hit him in the face. But, you know, Tim Walz, I think, will be, like, quite effective at using Minnesota nice, but to get in some real elbows. It'll be interesting. You know, J.D. Vance, I'm sure, is going to come out aggressive, hostile, wildly unlikable, like he always does, and probably spread vile lies about whether it's Haitian immigrants, undocumented immigrants, legal, other immigrants that are legal, Democrats, women who don't have kids, teachers, everyone who he's already attacked. You know, I'm sure he'll attack Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I think what you'll see is Tim Walz respond like he usually does, by pointing out that this is all an effort to divide us and attack, you know, attack Democrats and attack voters and attack marginalized communities, to cover up for the fact that they have no actual economic agenda to improve people's lives or to protect people's freedoms on things like abortion or the ability to read books that, you know, talk about LGBTQ people, or to be able to, you know, afford your medication. So I think it'll be interesting, and I do expect some sharp elbows.
I would predict that, much like Donald Trump, J.D. Vance will try to come off as a moderate, thoughtful person. And like Donald Trump in his debate, it will last 3 to 5 minutes, and then something Tim Walz, or more likely the moderator, since J.D. Vance loves to, you know, rip the media, we'll say something, and the mask will come off at that point. But we'll talk about that a week from now, as the VP debate is next Tuesday. Kieva Keel, thank you so much as always. Have a great weekend. This isn't a nice song to kick off Friday's history lesson. Mr. Loaf had a hit with Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He was born this day in 1947, passed away a couple of years ago. Meatloaf for the uninitiated. Every Friday, I've told this story once or twice before. Well, every Friday while I was attending UW-Eau Claire, there would be in the women's wing of Governor's Hall, Fridays at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever it was, somebody put, you know, and of course stereos in the '80s had these big old speakers. You'd put the big old speaker in the window and they'd pound out Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Oh yeah.
It was like the official song to kick off the weekend. In an awkward transition, the Society of Jesus, otherwise known as the Jesuits,
I never knew that. The Society of Jesus.
The Jesuits received their charter from Pope Paul III this day in 1540. I feel like now I got to play. The next song should be Billy Joel's "Only the Good Die Young." You Catholic girls start much too late. But
oh, I was going to say some Gregorian chanting. Like, oh.
Okay, we clearly come at this from different points of view. That's all right. That's okay. Pop singer, actor Sean Cassidy. Sean Cassidy turns 66 years old today.
Awful.
And this is when people say, why did disco take hold? Because in 1977, this was on the top of the charts.
Why so we had to Sean do something Cassidy else. Take off?
He did not join his mom, Shirley Jones, and his half-brother, David Cassidy, on the Partridge Family, but he did star in the Hardy Boys Mysteries and had a couple of bubblegum hits like that. On this day in 1777, during the Revolutionary War, Lancaster, Pennsylvania became the capital of the United States for one day because the Continental Congress was on the run, forced to evacuate Philadelphia ahead of a British advance. Samuel Adams, not the beer, but the actual founding father, a cousin to John Adams, was born this day in 1722. We played Twist and Shout earlier by the Beatles. That song was re-released and peaked at number 23 on this day in 1986 because of its use in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Brad Arnold, the lead singer of Three Doors Down, is 46 years old today. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, the very first national edition of NBC's Tonight Show with Steve Allen was broadcast tonight in 1954.
Gwyneth Paltrow is 52 years old today. Lil Wayne is 42. Jenna Ortega is 22 years old today. And Avril Lavigne hits the big 4-0 today.
Oh, my God.
I love how every so often you hear a name and an age, and I think that's what you were doing that time, Avril Lavigne being 40.
Yeah.
Does that hit you in the feels?
Good.
Yeah, doesn't seem right. Dave Matthews Band released their first album, Under the Table and Dreaming. Singles included What Would You Say and Ants Marching. This album was dropped this day in 1994. So yeah, 30 years ago today. That again, that's going to hit some people. The album sold over 6 million copies.
We dump poop in the Chicago River.
Moving on, Pink earned her first solo number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 this day in 2008 with a track from Funhouse. Today is Hug a Vegetarian Day. This is Morning TV Show Host Day. I couldn't hold a copy. Wait one more day. She could have taken advantage of that. Today is National Chocolate Milk Day, Corned Beef Hash Day, National Scarf Day. I think the fashion accessory, not so much the winter wear. And it's World Tourism Day. And it's Native American Day, in which, again, we salute our members of the Indigenous First Nations community. And going along with that is Ancestor Appreciation Day, so that we can all appreciate our own family histories wherever we are and from wherever, from whence we came. Wanted to squeeze one more news story in here as well, because we had mentioned earlier Tom Tiffany, the congressman from here up north, voting, I'd rather have a government shutdown than at least a temporary spending deal. It turns out Tiffany also was spreading a lie earlier this week. We told you about the case of how some duplicate absentee ballots had been mistakenly mailed out in the city of Madison. Now, there were already safeguards in place because there are barcodes on the envelopes that indicate the address, not who you voted for, but just whether you voted, whether you returned that absentee ballot. But that's not how Tom Tiffany put it. He put out something, including a tweet that included a picture of an absentee ballot showing no barcode. And he says, "My office has proof there is no barcode on the actual ballots. Here's a picture, no barcode in capital letters." But again, the ballots don't have the barcodes. It's the envelope. And so eventually there was a response by Ann Jacobs, the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, also on Twitter, who wrote, "I can't tell if this is just profound lack of knowledge or intentional farming of outrage. Both, by the way, are bad." And Congresswoman Gwen Moore told him on a post to knock it off, saying, "This is misinformation. You and I both have voted with absentee ballots in Wisconsin. You just did in the August primary. And in four of the last five elections, we owe it to the people of Wisconsin to not spread falsehoods about election security." So again, be very careful where you get your political and election news from, especially if it's a politician who has previously voted to take away your vote. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.